A planning team made up of some borough staffers and area residents heard from the consultants about some of the themes emerging from public input gathered this summer. Agnew Beck's Chris Beck summed up one of the major sentiments expressed by people commenting on the planning process.
Try to continue to have the opportunities for the great life people have been here for the last 40 years, for the next 40 or 50 years. You know, opportunities for kids, opportunities to have a job, opportunities to enjoy subsistence life, all those things that have made this a special place. I think the answer that people seem to be understanding is like, okay, that's been good. How do we continue that?
Beck said the other part of that was the financial role that the state has played in funding improvements and services locally, and how that role will be changing with the state's bleak fiscal outlook. The company's Shelley Wade thought they needed to do a better job of clarifying the budget outlook in the short term against the need to plan for harbor projects in the long term.
That feels like it's there but not stated loudly enough, and then it's when you look at the waterfront master plan that there's a misalignment of those two pieces because of the proposed projects that are there.
In addition to the comprehensive plan that looks at things like land use, zoning, housing, population trends, and public facilities, the consultants are also developing recommendations for the harbor and waterfront in that separate master plan. That document looks at the money brought in from harbor users, as well as costs of operating and replacing docks and floats, and long-term needs. The group talked about better recognition in that waterfront master plan for remote facilities in the borough, like boat ramps at Papke's Landing and Banana Point on Mitkoff Island. Here's borough manager Steve Giesbrecht.
The plan needs to be encompassing of the other uses of some of these other facilities, and as well as the harbor itself, and recognize that they exist, recognize that they have economic value. We don't have to have solutions to funding necessarily, but, recognizing that there is going to be a funding problem down the road. So
the planning group also mentioned other existing remote docks at Point Agassiz, Kuprinoff, and Entrance Island in Hobart Bay. Planning team member Rick Braun thought the borough had to look into fixing or maintaining some of those sites.
Places that people are using public facilities out in these areas can see, we really need some improvements here.
Right.
The ramp at Papke's, you just cannot use that thing anymore.
The consultants said they'd heard from Papke's area residents who have been collecting money to pour concrete to fix the boat ramp there. But they pointed to Papke's as an example of a remote site that the borough might have to take a greater role in improving in the future. Petersburg has purchased land from the Alaska Mental Health Trust for parking there. However, the dock and ramp and tidelands are all still owned by the state. Harbormaster Glo Wallen wanted that plan to identify areas in the borough that could be future harbor sites.
It would be really nice to be able to say in this, even if it's just a recommendation, you should start talking about where there's common public facility opportunities and start saving those.
The group also got into a discussion about funding for remote projects, as well as representation in the Petersburg borough government for those residents outside of the old city limits. Agnew Beck's Wade summed up the feeling.
So whether or not you feel like it's justified or not, it's what people are feeling, that there is not representation at the assembly level and potentially in these other committees or boards that is representing the interests and needs of folks that live outside of Service Area 1.
Others in the group countered that representation was already there, with 3 of 6 current borough assembly members living outside Service Area 1, along with half of the current Planning and Zoning Commission members. Kuprinoff Mayor Tom Reinartz pointed out that revenue has increased because of the formation of the new borough. He addressed borough manager Steve Giesbrecht, and he pointed to property tax from remote residents and businesses, along with new sales tax and bed tax money from those businesses, as well as expanded payments to the larger municipality.
So there is a substantial amount of money that was generated by borough formation. And that's where the credibility is. Well, what happens to that? It all just gets funneled into Service Area 1, and here we are getting nothing. And Steve, that's a real thing out there, not only with people outside of Service Area 1, but with people inside of Service Area 1.
Yeah.
The comprehensive plan attempts to paint a picture of the borough's revenue and where that money is spent, but planning team members agreed there needed to be better communication between the borough government and residents in outlying areas. Some ideas were regular meetings between Petersburg's Assembly and the City Council in Kuprinov, or the formation of local community councils that would bring more remote issues before the Petersburg Assembly. Reinhartz also said he saw a huge red flag in the recommendation of the Harbor Master Plan for large rate increases to pay to replace the docks and floats in Petersburg. Other discussions centered on issues right in the downtown area. The comprehensive plan is recommending the creation of a historic commercial area and to include Hammer Slough as well as Singley Alley. That zone could require that new buildings be designed to fit in with the historic buildings already there, consultant Chris Beck explained.
You can do a variety of things there. You can have commercial uses, you can have residential uses, you can have multifamily, but the form of the structures that house those uses ought to have a historical feel in the size and in the structure. Mm-hmm. But behind that is, this is potentially a way to get more people to spend money in your town. And because people love walking around in places that have the character that this does. I think everybody probably says the most photographed spot in Petersburg is probably right there.
Mm-hmm. Beck noted there's nothing in local zoning code today to require certain types of building in that area, and it could lose its historical feel if too many large modern structures are built. It's been a topic of discussion in the past. However, Rick Braun pointed out the desire to require certain types of buildings has not risen above a private landowner's right to build what they want on their land.
Who's going to say that my opinion and what's going to look great here is not the right opinion?
Yeah. Right.
And that is stronger.
The consultants also heard about the need for disaster planning and food security for the local population. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicnicki.